We do want to remind you that we'll have CBS World and National News at 9 o'clock on the top of the hour, 21 and a half minutes away. And we'll have another update from CBS News at 9:30 here on WCCO. Any late-breaking developments, we will bring them to you immediately here on WCCO.
Minneapolis, St. Paul. Minneapolis, St. Paul.
CBS News, President Reagan is recovering well after an attempted assassination in Washington. He's in good condition with a chest wound. New Secretary James Brady is in critical condition with a head wound. Two law officers are being treated for serious gunshot wounds. Now there's word the man who's charged in the shooting was previously arrested for carrying handguns and has been under psychiatric care. I'm David Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The attack took place in a Washington street. Mr. Reagan had just left a hotel after giving a speech. The gunman opened fire at close range with six shots from a .22 caliber pistol. There's late word now on the president's condition, and we get details from White House correspondent Neil Strauser.
The president has come out of his surgery still cracking jokes on paper now because of the tubes in his mouth. The White House says a little over an hour ago he handed his doctors in the recovery room a handwritten note saying, "All in all, I'd rather be in Philadelphia." The doctors have said the prognosis for Mr. Reagan's recovery from the bullet wound that penetrated his lung is excellent. The prognosis for Press Secretary James Brady, who was shot in the forehead, is more guarded. But White House aide Lynn Nofziger has just told us that Brady's doctor feels the prognosis is better now after lengthy surgery than it was earlier today. Brady came out of surgery less than 2 hours ago, and Nofziger, quoting Dr. Arthur Cabrini, says that Brady's vital signs are stable and the reflexes of the pupils of his eyes are normal, indicating apparently that the brain stem is operating. The doctor says Brady may have suffered some impairment, but doesn't know how much at this time. His condition is still critical. Barring unforeseen developments, the next full medical briefing is scheduled for 8:30 Eastern Time tomorrow morning. Neil Strauser, CBS News, the White House.
Vice President George Bush flew back to Washington from a Texas trip and came forward this evening at the White House to assure that the machinery of government is working, and he expressed relief at the latest news from the hospital. The suspected assailant, John W. Hinckley, Jr. of Evergreen, Colorado, a 25-year-old whose family now says he's been under psychiatric care recently, and police in Nashville say Hinckley was arrested there in October while then-President Carter was in town. They say Hinckley was picked up trying to board an aircraft while carrying three handguns and 50 rounds of ammunition. Hinckley reportedly is being held now at an FBI office in southwest Washington, D.C. He's being questioned, and two court-appointed lawyers are with him. The FBI says he'll be taken to a federal district courthouse in Washington later tonight for preliminary hearings. The Bureau says there are no other suspects in this attempted assassination. More on the story. Messages of concern and good wishes are coming into the White House from around the world, most speaking of shock and horror at the attack today on President Reagan. None perhaps says more than did the president's daughter, Maureen Reagan, in Los Angeles.
I am not prepared to accept this, whether it was my father or anybody else. I have seen throughout the day the reaction of other members of the family. Mine is fury and rage and anger. And that this in this country, this kind of garbage still goes on. And it is not going to happen to this president. My God, it is not going to happen to this president. Really. And I think that the American people have got to become angry about the crime in this country, about the ability of people to do this to other human beings, and we have got to stop it, and we've got to stop it right now.
What can be done, she was asked. She says Americans can get angry. More in a minute. The latest word from the White House, then, is that President Reagan is in good condition tonight following surgery for gunshot wounds he received in an assassination attempt this afternoon. The reports are that he's cracking jokes, writing on a pad of paper now, that all in all, he'd rather be in Philadelphia. David Jackson, CBS News.
Remarkable, isn't it? He was joking on his way into the hospital. He was joking on his way into the operating room. And now late word is that he is joking, having come out of the surgery, with a prognosis being excellent. 6 minutes past 9 o'clock. CBS will be providing us with an update at 9:30 tonight here on WCCO Radio. Just 24 minutes from now, we will be interrupting Mystery Theater, but you won't miss even a syllable. As a matter of fact, we'll make sure that you hear all of it. We'll even go back and retrace a sentence or two so that you can pick up the storyline. That'll be at 9:30, and then nighttime news.
This is a special report from CBS News, the attack on the president. I'm Doug Poling in New York.
President Reagan is recuperating tonight in a Washington hospital following the attempt on his life this afternoon. The shooting with a .22 caliber pistol, also shot during the same incident outside the Washington Hilton Hotel, was James Brady, the White House press secretary, along with a Secret Service agent, Timothy McCarthy, and a Washington, D.C. policeman, Thomas Delahanty. CBS News correspondent Neil Strauser is at the White House tonight. Neil, what are we being told now about the president's condition?
Well, we just heard within the past 45 minutes ago or so that the president went into surgery cracking jokes, and he came out of surgery cracking jokes a little differently now. He's having to do it on paper, but the White House tells us that in the recovery room he couldn't talk because of the tube still in his mouth, but he gave his doctors a handwritten note saying, all in all, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. And, of course, White House aide Lynn Nofziger told us earlier that Mr. Reagan, going into surgery, told the doctors, I hope you're all Republicans. And the doctors have told us since that their answer was, today we are all Republicans.
I think, Neil, that people find this most remarkable, that the president, after having suffered this bullet wound in the lung within inches of his heart, is able to speak this way and joke this way. Of course, we know that no vital organ was struck, but he is 70 years old, and what are they saying that this says about his overall condition, physical condition?
They're saying it shows he's in very good physical condition, but you can also say, of course, the lung was struck, which is a vital organ, but they're pointing out that he was never in very serious danger, and actually the bullet lodged several inches from his heart. It wasn't a case of, as we heard a great deal earlier this afternoon, that his heart was missed by just about an inch or so. In fact, the bullet might just have passed around his body had it hit a rib a different way, but it did glance off a rib and did lodge in his lung. But the surgery, though, it's always serious surgery when you have to go into a body, but Dr. Dennis O'Leary told us that it does show that the man is in very extraordinary physical condition, and the prognosis for recovery is excellent.
That was the next question. There's no doubt, or there seems to be no doubt, in the minds of the surgeons and the doctors attending Mr. Reagan that he will make a complete recovery.
That seems to be the case, and that also was repeated to us here not so long ago by Vice President George Bush, who said that the prognosis is for complete recovery. That was the word he got from the doctors.
And they're also saying, I believe, that he will be able to do some work while he was recuperating in the hospital.
Oh, yes, they're saying that by tomorrow, that the president will be able to make any decisions necessary for the office. He'll be hospitalized for a couple of weeks, but he should be feeling very little pain and not having much need for sedation after this night.
Hospitalized a couple of weeks. Is that about how long they're saying he will be there?
That was the guess, yes.
All right, now the man, though, who's not in such good condition is James Brady, the White House press secretary.
We were told by Lynn Nofziger again not so long ago that Brady's doctor now feels the prognosis is better than it was earlier today. Brady underwent lengthy surgery for that head wound. The doctors have said he might possibly have suffered some brain damage, but according to Brady's doctor now, his vital signs are stable. The reflexes of the pupils of his eyes are normal, indicating apparently that the brain stem is operating. It's still a case of holding the breath as far as the very genial and well-liked Jim Brady is concerned, and his condition is still critical.
And the other, the Secret Service agent who was wounded along with him, Timothy McCarthy.
He suffered a chest and stomach wound, a single bullet also, but it penetrated the chest and also into the abdominal cavity. But he, after undergoing surgery, according to the doctors at George Washington University Hospital, is doing extremely well.
And we also understand that the Washington policeman, Thomas Delahanty, who was also shot and wounded, is in serious but stable condition. Now, Vice President Bush arrived back in Washington about how long ago, Neil?
Shortly after 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And he went immediately into about a half-an-hour meeting with the top officials and members of the cabinet in the Situation Room at the White House, and appeared not too long after that to tell us how heartened he was by the news from the doctors about President Reagan, and also to assure us that the people should know that the American government is functioning fully and effectively. And this seemed to be the White House message tonight, that the government has gone on, even though President Reagan has been in anesthesia for a while. They have been trying not to make too much of a point, about who's in charge right now. I think that probably, in effect, reflects the feeling that Mr. Reagan will be back in full charge by tomorrow. But the vice president is picking up the president's schedule for tomorrow. That includes a meeting with the cabinet, a meeting with congressional leaders, and a luncheon with the prime minister of the Netherlands.
I think one question that may be in the minds of a lot of people is, who is actually running the government? And the impression that I got from what the White House was saying is that it's still Ronald Reagan. Is that right?
There hasn't been any kind of formal step to transfer power to anybody. They've been trying to say that during the afternoon, especially when the vice president was still flying back from Texas, that it was just everybody pulling together and it was a very smooth operation. And we're not getting anywhere really with questions about who might have had the military command, so to speak, during this relatively short time when the vice president might have been partly out of touch and when the president was under anesthesia. There was some impression maybe it was Secretary of State Haig, who did make the only appearance by a cabinet officer during the afternoon. He was the one who told us the president had been shot in the lung and was undergoing surgery. But apparently the arrangement at the White House is that the military command passes from the president to the vice president to the Secretary of Defense, but that may not have been formalized at all.
All right, CBS News White House correspondent Neil Strausser. And on this business of how the White House will carry on, who's in charge, and how business will be conducted while Mr. Reagan recuperates, Deputy Press Secretary Larry Speaks held a briefing earlier this evening.
As far as tomorrow, we will basically continue with the schedule as the president had planned. There is a plan for a brief meeting of the cabinet.
Okay.
A plan for a brief meeting with the congressional leadership, and then to continue with the schedule, which includes a meeting and a working luncheon with the Prime Minister of the Netherlands.
Larry, has the President turned over control or authority to the Vice President?
There has been no cause for that to take place.
The President will be under sedation at least until tomorrow morning. Can't we assume that the Vice President would have to be able to take charge in that case, Larry?
Well, there is, for your information, an automatic assumption of command authority that requires no steps be taken. It goes first on the Vice President and second on the Secretary of Defense.
Doesn't it go to the Speaker after the Vice President?
Let me get straight with you so you can understand it. There is a succession procedure. That goes from the President to the Vice President to the Speaker to the President pro tempore. There's another one called the command authority, which is an automatic assumption. And that's the only thing that happened at this time.
Who is the commander-in-chief tonight at this hour?
Well, certainly the president is the commander-in-chief. If any actions are required, I'm sure that it would be taken by the appropriate official in the government.
Larry Speaks, the Deputy White House Press Secretary, earlier this evening. As for the alleged assailant, the man who shot and wounded President Reagan, Jim Brady, his press secretary, and two other men, we have this report now from John Ferrugia in Washington.
John W. Hinckley, the man suspected of shooting the president and three others, is being held at an FBI office in southwest Washington. An FBI spokesman says Hinckley is being interviewed by federal agents and he has two court-appointed attorneys with him. Hinckley has asked for and received a doctor after complaining of a sore throat, but an FBI spokesman says he seems physically well otherwise. Hinckley will undergo more questioning by federal agents tonight and then later tonight be taken to the federal district courthouse in Washington for a preliminary hearing. Meanwhile, an FBI spokesman says an investigation has begun into Hinckley's background and said that investigation is centered in the western United States. He would say no more. An FBI spokesman also indicated that right now there are no other suspects in this assassination attempt. John Ferrugia, CBS News at the FBI office in Washington.
We've also been told by the FBI that Hinckley was arrested last October 9th in Nashville, Tennessee, while then-President Jimmy Carter was in that city. William Brissy, a captain of the Nashville Airport Security Police, said Hinckley was taken into custody for trying to board an airliner with three handguns and 50 rounds of ammunition. The guns were confiscated, Hinckley was fined and then released. The manager of a pawn shop in Dallas, Texas, says Hinckley purchased two .22 caliber pistols there in October of last year, And the FBI also says that Hinckley had a prior detention, if not an arrest, in Memphis within the past 6 months, detained there by local police in connection with what they called a property crime. He was fined and released. In a brief statement to reporters issued from their home near Denver tonight, Hinckley's parents said their son was recently under psychiatric care. They made no reference to the nature of the problem he's being treated for, but they said the evaluation did not alert us to the seriousness of the problem. Mr. Reagan's predecessor in office had some comment on today's events. That report now from John Sheehan in Plains, Georgia.
An aide to former President Carter said that Mr. Carter had expressed surprise at hearing reports that the suspect, John Hinckley, had been arrested in Nashville, Tennessee, carrying weapons last October. At the same time, President Carter was in the Tennessee city conducting a town meeting at the Grand Ole Opry. Mr. Carter himself has remained in seclusion at his home here in Plains, Georgia, since hearing the first reports of the shooting in Washington. He put out a statement saying he's thankful for the reports that President Reagan's condition is good and that he wishes President Reagan a speedy recovery. The statement goes on to say that Rosalynn and Jimmy Carter continue to pray for Jim Brady, Tim McCarthy, John Delahanty, and their families. John Sheehan, CBS News, Plains, Georgia.
Former President Richard Nixon and his wife in New York were said to be praying for the president, and that according to their daughter, Tricia Nixon Cox. Former President Gerald Ford is in Tokyo on a business trip. In a telephone interview tonight with CBS News correspondent Douglas Edwards, Mr. Ford said he especially wanted to send reassurances to Mrs. Reagan because he knows that when the two attempts were made on his own life in 1975, his wife Betty was more concerned about his life than he himself was. And to recap, President Reagan is in good condition, recuperating tonight in a Washington hospital following a gunshot wound, the attempt on his life this afternoon, and we are told that the president will make a full recovery. White House Press Secretary James Brady, also wounded in the attack, is in serious condition, as is Secret Service Agent Timothy McCarthy. A Washington policeman, Thomas Delahanty, also wounded, is in serious but stable condition. Arrested and being held in Washington is 25-year-old John Hinckley of Colorado. I'm Doug Poling in New York, and this has been a special report from CBS News.
A reminder that we'll have the nighttime news on WCCO Radio immediately following Mystery Theater tonight, and another CBS update at 10:30 here on WCCO.
Exceptionally good condition following yesterday's assassination attempt. White House new Secretary James Brady, fighting for his life with a brain wound, is serious but improving. Neil Strother has details.
The president was joking when he came out of anesthesia last night. With drain tubes still in his throat, he gave doctors a handwritten note saying, "All in all, I'd rather be in Philadelphia." And this morning, he was joking and greeting people along the way as, with tubes out, he was wheeled from the recovery room to the intensive care unit. The move to intensive care rather than a regular hospital room, a matter, it is said, of better security arrangements for the Secret Service. It was the White House physician, Dr. Daniel Ruge, who described Mr. Reagan as in exceptionally good condition, Ruge saying also, according to spokesman, that his vital signs are all in the normal range. The president's four children are all in Washington and likely will see him this morning. Mr. Reagan has already seen his top White House aides, one reporting him cheerful. They came back to the White House for the regular staff meeting that normally starts the president's day, but now is the vice president's meeting as George Bush picks up Mr. Reagan's schedule. But doctors have said that Mr. Reagan today will be capable of making any decisions demanded of the presidency. Of the others wounded, Dr. Ruge says that Press Secretary James Brady is serious but improving, somewhat responsive, but it is still too early for a prognosis. It's feared Brady may have suffered some brain damage. Ruge said the Secret Service agent Timothy McCarthy is very fine. Police officer Thomas Delahanty at another hospital is described as serious but stable. Neil Strauser, CBS News, the White House.
The sole suspect in the assassination attempt is John Hinckley, Jr. of Evergreen, Colorado, the son of a wealthy Denver oil company executive. We'll hear about him from Susan Spencer.
John Hinckley is in the custody of the FBI this morning and will start a round of psychiatric tests to determine his mental competency. Last night, the short, stocky 25-year-old appeared in U.S. District Court for presentment proceedings, a reading of the complaints against him. So far, only two filed, assault on a Secret Service agent and attempt to kill Ronald W. Reagan, President of the United States of America, by shooting him with a pistol. Hinckley sat motionless as U.S. attorneys described him, arguing he should be held without bond. Hinckley, they said, has no job, no dependents, no income, no address. but he does have a history of being able to buy guns, having been stopped at the Nashville airport last October 9th with three guns. Later that month, and again in January, prosecutors said, Hinckley bought other guns. The suspect's attorneys argued that holding Hinckley without bond would violate his constitutional rights, but the magistrate disagreed. John Hinckley is today at the Quantico, Virginia Marine Base. His next appearance in public is likely to be Thursday at his preliminary hearing. Susan Spencer, CBS News, Washington.
That October incident in Nashville has been getting special attention among Jimmy Carter's aides in Plains, Georgia, as we hear from John Sheehan.
When John Hinckley Jr. was arrested with three pistols in his possession in Nashville, Tennessee last October, then-President Jimmy Carter was in that city for a town meeting at the Grand Ole Opry. But the White House was not informed of Hinckley's arrest, according to Mr. Carter's aide, Phil Wise. The former president was surprised yesterday when he heard about the Nashville arrest. From the Carter home in Plains, Georgia, the ex-president's aides are making inquiries through the Secret Service to determine whether the suspect in the Reagan assassination attempt might have been stalking the former president during last fall's election campaign. For Mr. Carter and those close to him, it is a chilling coincidence that Hinckley was arrested in the city President Carter was visiting. And it is equally chilling that apparently no report was made that would have enabled the Secret Service to investigate whether Hinckley had been close to Mr. Carter there or elsewhere. John Sheehan, CBS News, Plains, Georgia.
Hinckley's family, in seclusion in Evergreen, Colorado, says he's been under psychiatric care, but the evaluations didn't alert anyone to the seriousness of his condition. The family issued a brief statement last night saying, "We're grieved and heartbroken by this tragedy. We love our son and will, of course, stand by him. We are heartbroken for the victims of this incident."
Still making plans to head for the sunshine in Arizona or Florida? Remember, Northwest Orient has the low discount fares for your whole family. And now they've teamed up with the Radisson Hotels for a special offer. When you fly Northwest to Phoenix or Florida and stay at the Radisson Scottsdale or Radisson Greenleaf, you get $10 coupons to exchange for merchandise for the Northwest in-flight catalog. Just show your Northwest ticket envelope when checking in at either Radisson resort, and you get one $10 coupon per room for each night of your stay. For complete details and reservations, call a travel agent or Northwest.
Get that good, comfortable feeling. White cabins in the sky. Fly the White Cabin Airline. Northwest Orient.
Inside and outside the United States today, expressions of shock, dismay, and horror that once again a president of the United States has been the target of an assassination attempt. Martha Teichner in London reports the reaction of European heads of state.
From British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, "I am very distressed." From West German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt, "With deepest disgust I've just heard." From Queen Elizabeth, the government of Denmark, President Giscard d'Estaing of France, the Archbishop of Canterbury. But at least in London, on the streets, there was no shock, no surprise. The reaction, an attempt on President Reagan's life, was to be expected in the United States. Such things have happened so many times before. Today's newspaper editorials talked of the violence in American society. "How long," said one, "can this country, so trusting, so liberal, so full of genuine generosity, continue to descend in the pitiless abyss of violence and destruction?" A headline, "The scourge America cannot conquer, self-destruction." Another comment, "It's almost as easy to buy a gun as a bar of candy." The papers recalled the shooting of former Beatle John Lennon. Here in Britain, where people cannot understand why the United States has not banned the easy sale of handguns, the irony in the fact that President Reagan himself has opposed changing the gun laws has not been missed. Martha Teichner, CBS News, London.
Former President Gerald Ford, who was fired on by would-be assassins twice while in office, says a move to change the gun laws is certain to result from the attempt on President Reagan.
"I'm sure there will be a drive mounted in the Congress, but I'm not sure even this attempt will dim the voices of many who honestly and conscientiously do not believe that registration of guns or the registration of gun owners will prevent a kook from getting a gun and attempting to assassinate a president."
Talking with reporters today in Tokyo, Mr. Ford said he thinks yesterday's attempt could, in his words, have a beneficial impact on the Congress, responding to Mr. Reagan's proposals for both domestic and foreign policy.
When you pick up a Wilson boneless ham, you can see immediately what it is. It has our bright blue seal of quality on the label. It is carefully trimmed. It's lean and juicy. Now, imagine what a Wilson boneless ham becomes. Golden, honey-glazed, baked ham, garnished with pineapple and bright red cherries, or ham steaks in rich raisin gravy. You can dice it, slice it, cook it up with nice fat shrimp or Dixie yams. The Wilson boneless ham becomes whatever you want it to become, and whatever it becomes will be the best, because only our best becomes Wilson.
Make this Easter special. Treat your family to Wilson's best. Pick up a Wilson boneless ham at your favorite store. 41 degrees.
At very nearly the last minute, a compromise agreement late yesterday put an end to Poland's latest labor crisis. But Bert Quint reports that the outlook remains stormy.
Lech Wałęsa says he is 70% happy with the deal. It's not at all certain that his fellow labor leaders will prove to be that satisfied. Militants on the National Commission came close to forcing a general strike without waiting for talks with the government. Some of them already are grumbling about the outcome of those talks. The Warsaw Region local, for example, is going ahead with preparations for a strike just in case. Its leaders say the terms of Wałęsa's agreement with Vice Premier Rakowski are too vague. While the government agreed to punish those responsible for the beating of union men in Bydgoszcz, it appeared to be stalling on legalization of a private farmers' union, and it gave Solidarity little reason to hope it would free political prisoners. Wałęsa reportedly was himself doubtful about signing the agreement, but was urged to do so by the Roman Catholic primate of Poland, Cardinal Wyszyński. Nevertheless, the feeling here is one of relief that there is no strike today, and of conviction that the National Commission will agree to an indefinite postponement simply because it would be too dangerous not to. Bert Quinn, CBS News, Warsaw.
This country's 160,000 soft coal miners are voting today on the new three-year contract recommended by the union leadership. The outcome is uncertain.
Think happy, stay happy. Have a happy day today. Work better, live better, the Twin City Federal Way. Make your money work for you, to do the things you want to do. Think happy, stay happy, the Twin City Federal Way. Think happy, stay happy, have a happy day.
Through more than a half century, Twin City Federal has always paid interest regularly. It is now more than $2.5 billion strong. That's the kind of strength and experience to depend on when you save money.
Think happy, stay happy, the Twin City Federal Way.
Degrees, 7-Eleven.
A successful commando raid at the Bangkok, Thailand airport has ended a three-day hijacking by Muslim extremists. Dave Hatcher has details.
Various sources said of the five hijackers on board, four died, either in the hail of commando gunfire or en route to the Bangkok airport hospital. The other was captured and believed taken back to Jakarta along with a crack unit of Indonesian commandos. But later Tuesday, the Indonesian government said that all five hijackers were killed in Bangkok, leading to speculation that the fifth gunman was executed aboard the Indonesian airplane. Two Americans were among those rescued from the plane, 29-year-old Ralph Hunt from Houston and Thomas Heisman of Carmel, California. The Indonesian government had applied strong pressure to get Thailand to agree to the commando raid. Once approved, the Indonesians had taken certain actions to mislead the hijackers into thinking some of their demands were being met. Then came the raid, the shooting, and suddenly all 45 hostages and four of the five crew members were alive, unhurt, and free. One pilot was seriously wounded. Dave Hatcher, CBS News, Bangkok.
The FBI released preliminary figures today showing that violent crime in this country went up 13% in 1980. The overall crime index, combining violent crime with property crime, rose 10%. Yesterday's attempt on the life of the president weakened the dollar at the start of overseas trading today, but the dollar began recovering a few hours later when it became plain that the president's condition is not serious. Gold is down. It was fixed in London this morning at $514.25 an ounce, down 4.5 from late yesterday.
Flying to Seattle? More than ever, that's Northwest Territory. Starting April 26th, Northwest Orient offers 3 nonstops daily to Seattle, more than any other airline, and the only wide cabin jets. En route, you'll enjoy Regal Imperial service, including complimentary wine or champagne, plus free stereo in all wide cabin flights. And you can save up to 35% with Northwest Super Saver fares. Conditions include 7-day advance purchase, and discounts may be limited, so reserve early. For reservations to Seattle, call a travel agent or Northwest. Still, the best to the Northwest.
Get that good, comfortable feeling. Wide cabins in the sky. Fly the Wide Cabin Airline. Northwest Orient.
The attempt on President Reagan's life has once again called attention to a peculiar and tragic coincidence of American history. Every 20 years since 1840, a president elected in a year ending with zero has died in office. The first was William Henry Harrison. The others were Abraham Lincoln, James Garfield, William McKinley, Warren Harding, Franklin Roosevelt, and John Kennedy. Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, and Kennedy died from assassins' bullets. And now the latest in the series, Ronald Reagan, wounded but recovering well from yesterday's attempt. It's only a coincidence, but it has left its mark in the history books. Dallas Townsend, CBS News.
Hello, Boone and Erickson.
Yes.
Is that $500 rebate still on at Kleinold's?
Yes, but you'd better hurry. The rebate offer is coming to end this Saturday, April 4th.
That's on 81 Cutlass four-doors and the Cutlass Custom Cruiser?
Yes, and you know that the Olds Cutlass is America's best-selling car because of its luxurious styling and great mileage economy.
Yeah, it'll be even more economical now with that $500 rebate.
Boy, that's right. Hey, one more thing. Because of these rebates...
Holy smokes, did you say April 4th?
Yeah.
That's Saturday. Say, Mary, we only have until Saturday morning, according to Boone Erickson.
What I was going to say is, because of these rebates, Klein...
What's that, Mary? Oh, we're busy Saturday. Well, we'll have to get there by Friday, then.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Because of these rebates, Klein Olds has been taking a lot of great used cars in trade. Big savings on those, too.